This episode of The Salty Show is brought to you by Miss Independent Woman. Now, with 20% more dependency.
What up, what up? It's your boy Timmy, two times in the house. Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. What up, everybody?
Oh, shit. It's Timmy.
I'm from New York.
I don't give a shit. Women are bitches.
Hello. This is Heidi.
What's up? It's your girl, Sammy Joe.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show, where we cover everything from politics to pop culture. I'm your host, Salty Saul. I did want to talk about, again, I'm ill-prepared for this because I hit the ground running when I came back, and it's like, I haven't had time. And I, obviously, when I was out there, I wasn't even preparing. But I did want to talk about the growing number of women saying that they're done being Miss Independent. So we can react to some of these videos that I have collected, TikTok videos. And we can talk about, there was a bridezilla who didn't want a conservative uncle to her wedding.
I'm sorry. A bridezilla that did not want a conservative uncle to come to her wedding.
Yeah, because she was liberal and her mental state was not going to.
We reached the point. I sent him.
Why would the uncle want to go?
Because family. Because you know what normal people do? It's family. I don't care about your politics. You're my family. I'm going to show up.
If your family is going to be like that and treat you that way, then why? Why would you subject yourself to that?
Well, because conservatives, we're better.
Fuck that.
No, but I sent him a video earlier today. It was a guy in a Starbucks, right? It was this white dude in a Starbucks, black dude. He confronts him because the black dude's wearing a MAGA hat. He's screaming at him in the middle of Starbucks, like, why did you vote for Trump? Blah, 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 blah. Running his mouth. Right at the end, he fucking takes his hand, smacks the hat right off his head. Because the guy was just being pet, I'm like, motherfucker, dude. I'm like, if that was the opposite way, that would have been racism. That would have been all over the media, racism. I'm like, these people are fucking damaged. They're fucking damaged.
Well, they're damaged. They're just going by what they see all nonstop in the news, man. And I mean, they feel justified.
That's what I'm saying. They're damaged.
They're ignorant. Because there's people who only watch, CNN or MSNBC. And like, if you tune into that shit, it's like nonstop. Trump is a racist and the whole Republican Party is racist and this is it. It's nonstop. And so therefore, what do you do with two racists? You punch racists. Punch them in the face. That's how they think. So of course they're gonna react that way.
How's a white person?
They claim that the conservatives are the racist.
I've
never experienced it, man. Ever. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm sure if we but me and you, Tim, we went through to
We went all over the country, remote
places, and just to see how I was treated. Nobody came up to me and said, "You don't belong here," or anything like that. So, you would think that, and so even if they think it, right? Nobody acted stupid towards me, right? Nobody. So
everybody was cool with us.
Yeah.
Everywhere we went to Savannah, Georgia. We went to fucking Orlando. We stopped in Jacksonville. We were in Asheville, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. We were at all these places that were all the birthplaces. We were in Virginia. I mean, we did get a ticket in Virginia, but we went everywhere. Not a single thing.
Yeah.
Not a single conflict. The only time we almost had a conflict was in Chicago. We almost got into a fight in Chicago when we were shit-faced drunk at that underground bar.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with... That was nothing right. to do
that
with...
That was just stupidity. Yeah. But it was... That's the only time that we even smelt a whiff. And again, it was Chicago. It was shithole Chicago.
Right. And like I said, who says this all the time? Dennis Prager, I think, says it all the time. It's like, and this goes to the argument or the issue that we talked about maybe two episodes ago the last episode with Supreme Court, right? And the end of affirmative action. And, it's like maybe there was a time when the country was that way, but that's long gone. And, what Prager says is we don't judge people by the color of their skin, right? We don't make excuses. We shouldn't make excuses for people. Oh, he's black, therefore we have to be more lenient. No. Bad character is bad character. You judge people by how they behave, not by how they think. I don't know how you think. I can't read your mind, right? And so if there's a racist person somewhere in South Dakota that we ran into that was a nice person and served me lunch and whatever, you know what I mean? That's all I care about. I don't care what's in their brain. I care how they act, right? That's how we should all look at this, right?
But yeah, you know, that was one of the experiences. And I think I know you were here the night I was talking to Jeremy, and I'm like, come on, we've got to move to Iceland. Like, you know, yeah. Iceland's like the safest country in the world.
Mm.
It is the safest country in the world.
There's nobody there.
You could walk out into the parking lot and their keys are all in their vehicles, in the ignition of their vehicles, or sitting on the dashboard.
Unlocked. What's their immigration policy?
Right. They are extremely stringent.
There you go.
Exactly.
People coming in their country.
They're not gonna let you.
They are.
Let's be real.
And there was three, their crime, like they were talking about their crime and it's just like stupid low. You can own guns, but you have to take courses. You take the first course like 2 weeks. It's like a 2 week course. And then you get the first gun license you're allowed to have. And it's like rifle or shotgun. And then you have that for a little while. And after so many years, then you're allowed to upgrade and get the next level license with more classes. But it's for hunting. You don't need it for safety. You don't need it so it's for sport, right? But then he was like talking about, but even for the sport or the hunting side of it, you go to hunt whatever you're going to hunt because you're using every single last morsel of whatever you hunt, whether it's you're eating it, whether it's, you know, like the pelt or whatever. Then, I know what to say. There's 360,000 people total that live in the country. They have 500,000 sheep. They let the sheep go in May. Every year they let them out in May, end of April, beginning of May. And they roam free in the mountains. And then in August, before the first snow comes in, everybody leave, like the country basically shuts down because they go and have a festival to see who can collect the most sheep out of all of them. And they track, you know, they could track them. So they have all the families get together because it's a game and they go out and make it a big festival to collect the sheep. But just all the little, no. And then they harvest their fur, their pelts, their milk, they eat a lot of lamb, a lot of sheep, a lot of lamb, a lot of fish. But just, I mean, take ourselves and launch us back 100 years, and
Jesus,
it was so just wholesome and
I don't know about that. You're romanticizing the fact. It was brutal. I just recently saw. You remember? Do you guys ever see that movie, The Revenant? Do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the way they became a country?
It's Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's, you know, obviously, if you know, English fighting against the French, fighting against the Indians, all the different tribes of the Indians. Savagery, man, savagery. And, you know, people think, oh, well, you know, I am a conservative because I think slow change is better. Right. But at the same time, you know, I mean, like there was a period of time and modernity has brought upon peace. And I want to go watch the Oppenheimer because that nuclear bomb, there was a moral dilemma. Right. Did it bring peace or did it bring, you know, the destruction of mankind? And Oppenheimer struggled with that question, but I, you know, I mean, like it brought on relative peace compared to how much people have died in the past. But anyway, the past wasn't, you know, perfect. The people struggled to eat. And again, history, the past is brutal. And to your point, Heidi, about Iceland, I believe everything that you're saying. There's a lot of the, Sweden, Norway, all those countries that enjoy that type of freedom, they do because they're homogenous, right? But if you look at France, you know what I mean, like
Sweden's really bad, dude.
Well, yeah, but right now, because they've opened up their borders, right? I think Poland is the only country out there in Eastern Europe and in Western Europe that has said, no, we're not gonna do this now. Now, I always say this because the liberals will say diversity is our strength. Diversity is our strength, and I always will say, I think it's a strength, but it's also a weakness, right? the weakness we're experiencing, the weakness that France is seeing is because of, you know, how do you have people with different cultures, different religions, different ideologies, all try to get along? And for a long time, America has done a relatively good job, although there has always been conflict. You know, it wasn't always perfect. You have in New York, you know, you had the Irish fighting against the, you know, the Protestants fighting against the Catholics and the Irish against the Italian. It was constant the struggle, right, to have people get along. And if I look at it again, America has done a great job compared to all of the countries. Iceland is a homogenous country. There's, you know, everybody shares the same thing, right? For the most part. So, of course, they're going to enjoy relative peace. And they have natural borders that, you know, who's ever going to get there? And the United States is right here. And we, you know, protect the Atlantic Ocean. Nobody's going to mess with them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just they're enjoying a relative peace because guess what, guys? There's a big brother. And we have nuclear weapons that we, you know, I mean, we could use against. So nobody's going to mess with them. You know what I mean? And so they enjoy this relative peace. But as soon as America is done, right, if America falls, I think the world goes into chaos. It will.
I think so. I think you're right on that. Because think about it. Even though America for hundreds of years, right, because, you know, we're a couple hundred years now, right? Yeah, everybody was from somewhere else. But you know what? Everybody was proud to be in this country.
Right.
Everybody, you came to this country, you wanted to be in America because America was the land of opportunity, hope, and all, everything we know, pursuit of happiness. It's the only country that guarantees the pursuit of happiness in a document. You know what I mean? In our founding principles. But in the last, I would say, 70 years, 80 years, I think that's why America has gotten into such chaos is everybody we're bringing in, you know, we see it all the time, right? We've had this conversation, you know. We go to a soccer game out here, U.S. versus Mexico. All the people from Mexico that live in America are waving their Mexican flag. Mm-hmm. Bro, you're an American. You weren't born in Mexico. You're not a Mexican citizen. You're American. You wave the American flag. Be proud to be an American. No. Fuck America. What? Mexico's better. Then go back there and live. Oh, no. You can't live over there. We want to live in America, but we want to support Mexico too. You can't do that. You cannot do that. If Mexico is playing Honduras or Guatemala or something like that, yeah, you vote for that. You know, you can vote for Mexico, you know, but if they're playing America, you wave that American flag proud. You're in this country. You're an American.
I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, but it's like the people that are, let's say Heidi's she was a Steelers fan, right? If she's going to a game like a Cardinals game, she's not going to root for the Cardinals. Sure, they're the home team, right? But she's still her team is the Steelers. And so I'm assuming a lot of these people may or may not be in the same kind of category, right? They may not be thinking, yeah, Mexico is my team. They may be thinking Mexico is my country, so I'm going to support it. But still, there are people that support teams that are not the home team. And even when they're playing in the hometowns, they still support their team.
Right. But he's been at the stadium. He's told the story before. He's been at the stadium and been approached going, why are you wearing all American? He goes, Mexico. You know, you told me that story when you were, and he goes, bro, he goes, I'm American citizen. Well, we share.
Right. And so that would be an example, obviously, that person is not necessarily.
But that's the ignorance. If you went to that game and you burnt the Mexican flag in front of them, they'd kick the shit out of you. If you were in front of them and you burned the American flag, you know what would have happened? They would have cheered. That is the problem. We allow this country and the things we stand for to be just shitted on by people.
I think the uniqueness in America was that, to your point, Tim, America's always been an idea. It wasn't a certain race. It really wasn't. Even when it was predominantly white people, there were, you know, English, the French, the Italians, the Dutch, they were all moving here, right? I mean, it wasn't just, so it's always, you know, again, different religions, different ideologies, different backgrounds. And so there was never, you know, and I'm sure the Italians, they were proud and they you know, wave their Italian flags the same as the Irish, you know what I mean? Like, and so I don't look at that as a bad thing necessarily. You know what I mean? But what I do think, and to your point, Tim, is that there is now a because we're not vetting and because we're not controlling what comes in here, I think to Tim's point, there is a growing number of people who don't have loyalty to America, who are not thankful, who are coming here to take advantage of it because their ultimate goal is to go back. You know what I mean? Like, or to win it back for Mexico. That is, I remember going in high school and going into, clubs. This is in 1997, going to clubs in high school where it was made up by predominantly Hispanic people who were having, you know, talking about how this, that part of, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, whatever, belonged to Mexico, you know what I mean? And this is, 30 years ago. And now it's kind of the same, it's gotten even worse. So to Tim's point, I believe that, yeah, there's a growing number of people who don't have allegiance to the country. I mean, just recently there was a woman who was singing the Pledge of Allegiance and she changes it to changed the words of the Pledge of Allegiance at a public. Did you see that, Tim? Mm-hmm. I should have saved that link. Yeah, it was some black woman singing the national anthem. I think it was at a sports event. And she changed the words and said, America is not the land of the free or something. You know how that verse, the land of the free, whatever, home of the brave. She changed it to the land of the slaves or something like that, man. Yeah. And so this is a growing trend. And what's crazy is that even though right now, I mean, the country is as diverse as it can be, it's as free as it can be, right? I mean, and for some reason, the cry now is that, oh, there's so much racism. There's, what are you talking about? Like, if there's anything racist that's happening, to your point, Tim, it's from the left, who is consistently, into that video that you saw, and I saw that video of a white guy approaching a black guy wearing a MAGA hat and mad at him wearing the hat. That would have been in front page, that would have been all over CNN saying, see, the new face of racism. But because it's a liberal and a communist, they won't say nothing. They'll let it go.
Yeah. I mean, and it's weird because, I'm seeing article after article, headline, right? Asian Americans are helping keep white supremacy alive by accepting, by saying, going after school choice and supporting it. Black America is helping keeping white, is taking part in white supremacy for supporting school choice and getting into, and a lot of them are okay with the fact that affirmative action's gone now and believe that you should go to college not based on your skin, the Muslims with all the school boards. Oh, Muslims are now taking part and keeping white supremacy alive by going to school board meetings and speaking out against LGBTQ in classrooms. And I'm like, how can every single person look at this and go, wow, they are really calling everybody racist or supporting white supremacy if you are going against what we believe and forcing on you? So if you go against LGBTQ, you're helping white supremacy. If you're going against affirmative action, you're helping you're going after white supremacy. You're aiding it. If you're for school choice, you're for white supremacy. I'm like, when the fuck is everybody? And now Ice Cube came out and started saying, Ice Cube was on Joe Rogan's show, I think last week, and he came out saying, he goes, I think it's time for black people to wake up and get away from the Democrat Party. He goes, they ain't doing shit for us. They haven't done shit for us in 40, 50 years. And they just keep saying, dude, yo, everybody's coming after Cube now. Like, I see all these white lefties, and Cube he's not Kanye. He's got his marbles together. Kanye's a little out there, and well, he was right.
For now. I mean, they're going to drag him out and be like, this is why Cube.
But Cube is a different breed, man, because people be like, oh, Cube, I was a fan. He goes, shut up. He's like, he's going after him.
Yeah.
And these people, they don't know what to say, because usually if they speak up and they start screaming at you, you say you apologize. Cube's not going to apologize, and remember, he turned down, because they called him a COVID conspiracy theorist, right? Remember, Cube was offered $9 million for a movie in 21 to 22, right? But you had to be jabbed. He said no. And the media tried making him out to be, but because he didn't apologize, he went on about his business. Cube's got his own, he's got his own, you know, movie house. He's got the 3-on-3 basketball league that's thriving. He, you know, he was working on that contract for Black America. All that. Cube, you ain't stopping Cube. You know, these little white little kids, you ain't stopping Cube, because Cube doesn't do what the Kanye thing where he goes over. You know, Cube will go to that line, but he doesn't go over. He'll fight back. But Kanye, he went a little too far, right? He went all in.
It's like, what the hell?
Well, you know, so he went all in. He went all in, right, wrong, of indifferent. He went all in, and you saw the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
Cube, he'll go so far, but he's not going to let some little Twitter troll try to tell him that, well, he's a piece of shit. No, sorry, dude. The fact that you're saying that and you're not listening to his side of the story, you're the racist. You're the bigot. You're the misogynist. You're everything you're saying you hate. And you're just afraid to say it because every white liberal loves hip hop and they all, what is the one word? They cannot wait to say that word. And they say it like they are loud. When they listen to rap music, they think it's okay. They can say the N word and all that. It's in the music, all that. But they're so proud that when they say it, they have that, I could say it because I put up a black square. No, bitch, you can't say it. You can't. Like, you're not entitled to say the word.
Well, you know what I mean? If you're not entitled to say that word, then nobody's entitled to say, you know, any derogatory words towards whites. But nobody
right,
says
but
that.
Their proudness. You know, they think that, oh, because I supported.
I hear blacks saying derogatory terms against whites. They say it proudly.
Oh, I hear all the time.
So do you agree with that statement, Tim, that there should be words that are banned against whites?
I don't think people should say the words anyway. I think the words, all these racist words, I personally feel that they should not, they shouldn't be part of anything at this point, because it's so watered down anyway. It's just like, when I hear certain words, I'm a hip hop head. With all this new stuff, every other word is this, that, and I can't listen to it. It's trash. It's just straight trash.
Well, I just find it strange that a group of people who hate a word so much put it so much into their rap songs. I mean, you don't see, you know, like whites or other people or Hispanics putting, you know, derogatory terms against themselves in their own music. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm just saying, like, there's this, right, there's this inconsistency and a made up, you know, it's just a way, just another knife that they can use so that they can act inappropriately and nobody shames them, you know, because they get a pass because people who, you know, claim that slavery is slavery from hundreds of years ago is affecting them now, even though there's nobody who owned a slave that's alive today and nobody was a slave that's alive now. So stop it. You know what I mean? Like, this is the insanity that we have to deal with. And nobody wants to speak the truth. It's all like tippy-toeing around it. And I'm just done with it. You have to speak truth. And the truth go ahead.
Speaking of truth, and how you talk about everybody cries about slavery and how everybody owns slaves. You know, they did a study of everybody's, of all the president's backgrounds. Listen to this one. You're going to love this one, Jeremy, Heidi. They did a background check on every single president from Washington all the way through fucking grandpa right now. There's only been one president's family.
Oh, God.
Who did not own slaves. You know who that was?
Trump 45 and two zigzags.
Maybe that's all you need.
That was the funniest shit, because I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this should be like big news, because you're calling the guy fucking slave owner. He's a piece of shit. He's racist. But the only president who had no ties to slavery was fucking
Trump. Yeah, that you can't hold Joe Biden accountable for what his great great grandfather or grandmother
did. You're right.
But they do.
But you can't say that Joe Biden, he should be acknowledging and saying, yeah, I know my family was wrong and blah, blah, blah. You know,
why? No,
yeah, because he
doesn't have to acknowledge that at all.
He does, because they force all of us to try to acknowledge. They make you take fucking DEI classes at fucking work now, right? Because you're too white and you have to make up for penance.
I think
for
what
being
Tim is saying,
fucking,
Jeremy, is that he should be held up to his own standard, right?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who are saying all this about, oh, reparations and all this shit. Well,
I wonder, Biden,
how much have you done in reparations? You know, take some of that money you got from Ukraine, supposedly. We're not going to, the FBI listens to the show, so allegedly. the money you receive from, you know, Ukraine. We should give some of that money to, but they won't do it, bro. They won't do it. They're fake. And to their point is, you know, they hold on to this idea that if you ain't black, then you can't vote for, you know, you can't vote for a Republican. You have to vote for the Democrats. This is how they think, because they see themselves as the white saviors, and they see themselves as, yeah, but they're lost. And again, I like what I saw that, Tim. I saw that conversation that Ice Cube was having. Was it with who was he having Rogan. With? Was it Joe with Rogan?
Yeah, because that's where he also brought
even
the
Rogan
9
himself has come out and now he seems like he's going to support Trump. In fact, I think the recent UFC fight. What was it? What number was it? 200 something.
Whatever. 153.
Yeah, the Trump was there, right? And dude, he met with Roger Stone, with what was his name? Mel Gibson. Who else was there? Anyway, so they're saying that he was talking about that whole human trafficking bullshit. That anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. But Joe Rogan was hyping up the whole thing that happened with Trump walked in. He's like, dude, that whole place was, you know, freaking. And he says they're lying to you. They're lying to you about how this guy is unpopular. And again,
there's never been anybody like this.
No,
I'm sorry. I've seen Trump transcends celebrities. You could put Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's one of the top attractions. Drake, one of the top attractions. You could put them in a room.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that just don't know who they are. Everybody, when they see Donald Trump, from the common folk to the richest of the rich, they all want to see him, shake his hands. And you know what Trump does though? That's why I love when he goes to these towns. He goes to Dairy Queens. What the hell is a blizzard? You know what I mean? But he's with the common folk, right? Yeah. If he really had disdain for common people, he wouldn't go there and actually see a DeSantis goes there.
Hillary Clinton did, and she brought her hot sauce with her.
Right. But you see, like,
and her accent.
Trump seems more genuine, right? DeSantis, all these governors, they can go with their people, but it's politics. Trump is a celebrity. So when he's with these people, it's making their day. Like if you see Ron DeSantis walk, hey, what's up, dude? You know, Kristen Noem, hey, what's going on? You really are cute. You know, but you see Trump, man, like he's larger than life. His character, not what he stands for, but just his presence is larger than life. He walks in somewhere, he commands it. You know what I mean? Like
just the interaction with him and Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan, obviously, is the one, you know, he's like, whatever, doing the whole, what is that called? Hosting it or whatever, the narrating it. What is that called?
Oh, he's commentating.
The commentating on the whole fight. So as soon as Trump walks in and he sees him, you can see Joe Rogan is like, I mean, he looks like a little kid, you know, meeting a fan, meeting a celebrity. This is Joe Rogan. He's
you
huge.
See him shake his hand?
Yeah.
Trump like literally grabbed his arm, and Rogan is a strong dude.
Strong dude, yeah.
And he was like, he couldn't get his arm away from Trump, and that's that alpha shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm gonna say. That's that alpha move, because when Trump grabbed his hand, he brings it in.
Yeah.
He ain't letting that go.
Right.
He's an 80. He's a 77-year-old man. Think about that.
Yeah.
He took Joe Rogan's steroid his ass out, and he held that arm in that firm handshake. And yeah. Rogan just, he went limp, bro. Like he looked at his eye, like he kind of like.
Yeah.
No, don't tell me that, you know, Trump is a fucking beta male. You know what I mean?
Or that he's too old. Like, for example, no. I mean, like the guy's doing, you know what I mean? Like he looks, compared to freaking Biden, dude, like I'm my
God. Biden on the beach? Woof.
He's like taking little steps and you're like, oh my God, this guy. You know, see that in old people, you know what I mean? Like once they're, you know, they're just taking little steps, right? Because they're going to trip and fall, whatever. Those are the steps that Biden's taking right now.
He's got the gooms. He's got the grandpa boobs.
Right. And he's like, his hands are to his side and they're like this. You know what I mean? Like he's walking. It's like, what the hell?
It's bad. It's bad. Really bad. It's sad. You know, as much as I dislike the guy, he's a piece of shit, but he is a human being, right? What his family's doing to him.
Thank you.
By allowing him to keep doing this, the staff, like they can't hide it anymore. Like, dude, I don't know if you noticed this, but, you know, we've all made fun of the videos of him trying to climb up the stairs to Air Force One when he's fallen down numerous times.
You mean falling up the stairs?
Bro, yes. Yeah. Falling up the stairs. Dude, they are now letting him board through the belly of the plane so he doesn't have to fuck up that high. Because, and the fact that everyone's like, oh, you know, that's a good thing. Bro, you guys, they made fun of Trump for holding on to like a guy's arm walking down a steep ramp wearing dress shoes. Oh, he's not fit. He needs a physical fitness test. He's not fit to be. Bro, he even said, he goes, guys, I got fucking slippery shoes on. You know what I mean? But this guy falls upstairs.
When he was, remember when he was drinking water and they were like giving me shit, giving him shit for drinking water with two hands? And freaking Trump, the next day at a rally, he's just like, fix the water. He's like.
And don't forget, this fucking guy fell off his bike. We all forget that this dude fell off his bike.
Yeah.
So I'm tired of, look, we need leaders. We need people with solutions. One guy can't solve everybody's problem, but one guy can hire the right people to do the right things. And I'm pretty sure if, with everything that we've seen up till COVID, I'm pretty sure he had a lot of the right people in there. Yeah, there's a lot of swamp in there. But if you look at the good that was going on, there's a lot of good, dude. You know what I mean? And I don't want to get into but just this country, back to reel it back into what we were saying about this country.
Well, wait, I want to back up for a second.
Yep.
You're talking about Joe Biden getting, this was on Air Force One. He was going in through the belly of the plane.
Yeah.
So instead of going up the.
How do you even do that?
Well, they had, like right under the note, like they have multiple doors, like the service door.
It's not that much of a distance. Door. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the belly of the plane, right? So he goes up and.
All right, next.
Hey, Tim, let me ask you this, Tim, because I was hearing rumors about this and I don't know if there's talks that have been happening. I don't know. So it's rumors, but people are talking about a Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ticket. And if you remember, this is how they used to do it, right? A Republican candidate would choose a Democrat or from the other party to run as a mate, right? This is like how they used to do it. And I think it would be smart if he does that, because Robert F. Kennedy could pull a lot of moderate, Democrats, right, who wouldn't vote for Trump, but they would vote for a Robert F. Kennedy ticket. And he's Robert F. Kennedy, he's talking about a lot about the against the vaccine stuff. I mean, he's been going on podcasts talking about this. The only thing that I think that hurts him is obviously his voice, but the dude's solid.
His voice. Does it sound weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys haven't heard him. He has some type of illness.
Disease.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Is that good? You have a disease going into like.
But my thing, so.
Illness as a president already?
Well, he's physically fit. It's just that his voice, it's like his larynx.
Something's wrong with his vocal cords. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Anyway.
But my thing is, so yes, I've been hearing a lot about that. Steve Bannon and them. Because they're starting to get more back into the Trump camp. They're actually pushing for it. And it wouldn't be a bad thing because, like you said, he's polling right now at 20%. And that's with all the crazy media and everything like that. So if he's polling at 20% and they're not actually going to do debates and everything, Biden doesn't even have a campaign headquarters. So they're stealing it. It's
exactly.
So my thing, though, is if Kennedy and Trump are on a ticket together, Kennedy can, even if Kennedy's pulling at 20%, if he can carry 10% of that vote, that Democrat vote, Trump wins in a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
Like talk about 74 million. The guy's going to have 90 fucking million. They're going to have to get 100 million fucking votes for Joe Biden.
But I think it'll be beyond cheating, right?
There's no way that right now election integrity and the results of 2020 or at the highest that people go, there's fraud and this ain't right. Okay. It's the highest that you're ever going to go. You got a guy that's got 80 something million votes, 81, most popular president ever. But you never hear you never hear the Biden supporters go, I love Joe Biden. They just say, we hate Republicans. I've never seen a Biden supporter that's wearing a Biden 46 hat, a Biden 46 shirt. Like you see everybody wearing MAGA gear. I don't see people wearing fucking Biden gear.
I think one of the changes that the Republican Party has done, and then what's his name, Straka, talks about this this time around. Yeah, let's say give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't cheat, right? And they just won because apparently the Democrats are way better at canvassing, and obviously you saw that because I saw this. Who sent this to us? I saw this graph or this chart that showed if if we would have only counted the votes that happened on the day of election, Trump won every state, I think, except was it Vermont? One of those eastern, northeastern states, and like Washington, and I think maybe California. Anyway, but Trump would have won in a landslide, right? If you take the day of vote, which is how we used to do it as a country, and now all of a sudden, you know, oh, now we have to, you know, take 30 days to vote. And that's how they cheat, right? Because they're able to, they'll go canvas and get around some certain rules, and they apply COVID, and oh, we have to do it this way. I'm just waiting to see what the next pandemic is that's going to cause them to kind of push for this again. But what I was trying to make is that, you know, I think the Republicans have learned from this, and they're now going to start, you know, canvassing as much as where the Democrats legal. Are. Where it's legal. Exactly. Where they can
ballot harvesting. So basically, you can go to a nursing home, right? And you can go get everybody's ballots and deliver it.
Mm.
Right? In other states, like Arizona, I can't touch other people's ballots.
Right.
I can drive you to the polls. I can drive you to drop it off. Unless you live in my house,
I can't
deliver your ballots,
mm-hmm.
even though they do it and you can't question it. That's the problem. You can't question it. Okay. So they are doing it here in Arizona. You see people walking in with stacks like this. As a poll worker, you can't say nothing. But if you get caught doing it, somebody, you know, if a cop or something like that catches you, or an election official to Maricopa or wherever, Arizona, you see that, you go to jail. Anyway.
Well, the thing is that, you know, again, everything legal, but if they're not going to know who is who, right? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like if the Democrats are doing it, right, and where it's legal, the Republicans can do it. I'm not advocating cheating on this show. But if they even suspect, oh, the Republicans are done cheating, they're going to have to go after their own people. And who's going to win that game? They're going to lose that game over and over again. Right. If
24 is going to 24. You know, we say this every election, but I'm truly convinced right now, 2024 is the most pivotal election and the most consequential election of our lifetime, because we're at the edge. OK, this is why I say this. We're truly at the edge as a country with all the rulings that has come out of SCOTUS. Right. You've had Roe v. Wade, you've had affirmative action, you've had the EPA, and this affects all of us, by the way. So this isn't a Trump thing. This is not a Trump-Biden thing. If we lose the presidency, the Senate, and the, because by losing the Senate means they get supermajority, because the seats that are up, they get the supermajority, this country's over. When I say it's over, they will pack the Supreme Court with their radical leftist judges, that if you call somebody by the wrong pronoun, you will go to jail, like in Michigan now. They passed that law that everybody said wouldn't get passed. They passed that. They'll pack the courts. Every state all the elections will, it'll be done on your phone. You'll have the social credit scores, the digital, you know, the digital currencies, all that. All the shit we've been talking about, if they get supermajority in 24, welcome to full Agenda 30, 15-minute cities, all of it. It's not conspiracy. They tell you what they're going to do.
See, I have
majority.
I have more faith in the Constitution and the separation of powers that the country has established. I believe that, to your point, Tim, I think that that's their end goal. But I think that there's a lot of layers that the founding fathers have put in place that are going to protect us from that. One of them is the Convention of the States. There's enough conservative states to do a Convention of the States where they can say, hey, well. Huh?
Not if they flip them. If they flip them, they can convention of states and pass abortion laws.
If you look at the national elections, the Republicans have been winning states over and over again, because the Democrats, they haven't learned that if you're going to cheat for the ballot, might as well cheat the whole thing. They only cheat for the presidential, because they believe that the federal government should be because they want to centralize power, right? So that's their goal. They want to centralize power to in Washington, D.C. That's how they're going to be able to control the whole country. But we have, again, separation of powers and states' rights and the 13 colonies. This was a genius in all this, right? So there is that option, and there is that safety net there that the country has. Anyway, I think we're going to leave it there on that. I did want to talk, now that Samantha's here. This is going to be a heated one, though.
I just ignored.
I'm going to call this Miss Independent. So
and Q Kelly Clarkson.
No, Q Neo.
So in this day and age of online dating and the whole you know, hypersensitivity, the false allegations. I mean, we're seeing this. I mean, it's even coming up now against Trump, against everybody, right? Any conservative. I think we, and me and Tim have talked about this multiple times, which is, and this is a growing trend. And women are complaining about it. And I know this because I see a lot of TikTok videos where women are like, what's going on with men? They're no longer approaching women and, you know, in the old fashioned way. Right. And so women are now being faced with the question, should women start approaching men in this modern time of equality? And my theory is that I believe women don't fare well with rejection. I think women can't handle rejection as much. And me and Tim have had this conversation many times, right? Where I'm like, dude, I get rejected all the time, whatever, brush it off. So now with the world moving towards, well, let's have it equal, can women venture into the arena of having to approach men? Now, and again, sorry for the mental diarrhea here, but I see so many videos, or TikTok videos, and even seen it in real life where a guy approaches a girl and you'll see women be like, oh my God, what a creep, you know, or this wasn't the right time. You know, if he just would have approached me at the right time, you know, they'll use phrases like that. And so then the question becomes, well, how is the guy supposed to know when the right time is unless he's reading her mind? And I mean, and I think the right time is not because he's probably not attractive, right? But then the woman says, well, you know, now's not the right time. I think men are expected to be, you know, interesting, be able to have a conversation, even be entertaining, right? You'll hear the phrase, I want a guy who's going to make me laugh. And during all this time, women, I think, have enjoyed being able to sit back and do very minimal work to attract another mate outside of, you know, putting on makeup and all that stuff. And so, if she does ask a guy out, should she expect him to pay for dinner? Again, I'm going to lay a lot of stuff out here, guys. So write notes. And if a guy cooks dinner, should she wash the dishes and vice versa? Right. I think women, and I'm dumping a lot, I know, but just bear with me. Women think that just by looking at a guy for 2 seconds, that's them giving them the hint that, hey, you should make the move. And I've experienced that because somebody actually told me that. I'm like, how am I supposed to know? Well, I was looking right. I'm like, what? It's like, we can't read minds, but the girl looks, glances more than 2-3 seconds and boom, that was his sign. And the guy missed it. Right. Stop me when I'm lying. And so I think men are now starting to look at other ways or maybe even opting completely out, right, of this whole dating arena because of how convoluted it has become, how complicated it has become, again, in this day and age of, you know, people are triggered because, oh, this is, he's a weirdo or he's just a creep or that's, you know what I mean? And women augment this because, again, I see it on TikTok. Women are posting these videos. A guy approaches her in the gym. It's like, oh my God, now's not the right time, man. Right. Even though they both like the same thing, when is going to be the right time? All right. So I think this has led. And again, the conversation is going to center around women, the trend in women saying that they are done being Miss Independent, which I believe has led to this dating dynamic that we're seeing. All right. So I dumped a lot. And I know, Samantha, you were taking notes, and I'll let you respond.
She's on Instagram.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
she's checking her voicemail.
No. I read she's totally making notes in her notes on her phone. I am.
All right.
Okay, Miss Independent. Tell us what you think.
So there is a lot that was said.
Yes. Yes.
So where do we begin?
Beginning.
Okay. I think from what I'm hearing, the biggest thing is men need to be men. So you want to say, oh, equality and like, this is what's happening in society. Like you have your morals, right? You have your standards. You say, hey, if I'm a conservative, this is how I'm going to do, this is how I do things and run. Well, then run it like that. Like, why are you then trying to say, oh, because they're asking for equality, this means that this and that. You have your standards, then live by it and be that regardless of what's happening, just like you do when you stand up for abortions or just like you do when you stand up for whatever the things are. That's my first tip with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. So what I was going to say to that is, I agree with you, Samantha. What I'm talking in general, right, in general, I think, you know, if boys are being raised that, well, you know, this behavior is toxic masculinity, therefore, you know, and women characteristics are you know, praised, whereas men characteristics are downplayed. And they're like, well, no, don't be so rough and don't be like this. And so, you know, we in schools, I was watching somebody talk about this. In schools, you know, the behavior of girls, which comes naturally to them, is to be, you know, proper or whatever. Whereas boys are like, oh, well, you need to be in control. And so we're trying to create an environment that is, I don't know what the right phrase is, but a preferential treatment towards how girls are, as opposed to how boys learn and how boys are. Because again, in my opinion, is because women have are dominating these arenas now, and they're downplaying or trying to suppress how boys learn, how boys behave. And they're not guiding that. Instead, they're suppressing and they're saying, well, this is toxic. This, you probably get this from, you know. But anybody who, I always tell my female friends, if you have a boy and a girl and you compare them how they are and how they grow up, it's very different. Of course, there's exceptions, but in general, and I recently had a friend of mine who told me this. And she's like, you know, he used to tell me this all the time. And I just recently had a boy and I'm seeing him and it's like, they're different. You know, she's calm playing with her dolls and he's like freaking, just, you know, but that's how boys are. And, you know, I mean, and I think society has suppressed this. And imagine, you know, years and years of this for boys. And you're saying, well, if you have your values and you have your convictions, then act by them. But, you know, when we as a society are collectively telling boys that they're toxic, how does a man, now that he's a man, have that courage when for so long society has been, you know, pushing him down?
And a lot of them aren't even going to know, right? They're not going to know how to be the traditional male because of that. Like, and you see that to your point, especially in the schools, or I even see that around friends of mine who have boys, and even family. Oh, well, they've got too much energy. So it's ADD, ADHD. Right. And then they medicate the kid.
Yes.
And the young man all of a sudden is no longer the boy that is a traditional boy, right? Because they've medicated it to make him just a little zombie doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, when he's supposed to be doing it, how he's supposed to be doing it. And there's no longer that creativity or that boisterous, you know, notices it boisterous, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Side of a boy. And I always say, I'm like, no, he's a boy. That's what they're supposed to be doing. He is a boy. My cousin's grandson, I was watching him a couple weeks ago, and he had his airplanes and his G.I. Joes, and he was kind of playing rough. And a couple times they said, stop, 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 calm down, stop. And I'm like, he's not hurting anything. He literally was hurting nothing. He was playing. He was being a boy. He was doing exactly what he should be doing as a boy. And they were trying to tamper that down. Stop, stop, stop. No, no, no. And even the schools, look at the schools now. We are so centered and focused on being kind and being gentle and being, and again, if a boy's acting up or they're boisterous or they're extra active or they're extra whatever, that's not okay. And we need to, like, for lack of a better word, that out of them.
There's a difference between being disrespectful and just having, you know, the
energy,
right? I remember when I was in school, I experienced this. I was in school and at the school that I was at, we had like these ridiculously high monkey bars. Like I'm talking about like freaking high, right?
They were actually just normal size.
No, because we were kids. When I was a kid, we were all the same size. It wasn't until like freaking high school that everybody freaking shot up, right? So, and again, I was a kid, man. And freaking high monkey bars. And one day a kid was on top of him and he fell down and broke his leg. And so guess what? Petition. Oh, get rid of the monkey bars. This is that they shouldn't be there. Now, sure, they might have saved a few kids from, you know, breaking their leg. But you know what? In my opinion, I think they did more damage, because if you think about it at a micro level or at an individual level for that child, that boy, you know, for men, those little battles that you conquer give you courage, give you and help you. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what they were not looking at when they removed that. Because, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's who's going to want to go in this little kid monkey bars? This is for, you know what I mean? Like, this is
a great workout too.
Exactly. And so like, how much more damage was done by eliminating that and sparing, you know, a few other kids who would probably break their legs because they were, you know, whatever.
See, how fat
and I think the damage was more harmful on the other side, but you can't see that because you can't measure it, right?
Right.
You can measure it.
To Saul's point, right? You have little boys, let's just say first grade. They go out and they play on these monkey bars and they get all that energy out. Yes. Now, when they come back and they're teaching mathematics to the whole class, these little boys aren't causing a disturbance. They're not running around. They're not fidgeting. They're keeping the other kids from learning. Well, now we can't have that. So now the little boys are bouncing around and all the little girls in the class are looking at them like, well, what's wrong with this guy? Meanwhile, the teacher's trying to teach 30 kids and getting through to none of them because they're all hyped up or, you know, distracted by the people that are hyped up.
Oh, shit.
Right. Well, I think, you know, even though we were talking about men and
bring
for a second
back
there. Yeah. But just to kind of put a little topper on that, cherry on the top, is that it's also about everybody. And so think of like for a parents, right? How it was spankings and like now no one gets spankings. And if you do that, like maybe you're an abuser or, and it's not saying that people did not get abused because that is true. Right. And people were parents and adults
it's
were
extremists.
Extreme in that. And you know, that stuff still happens, but then like psychology and whatever else is like, okay, well there's other ways to do it. This gentle parenting. I mean, that goes back to even with babies, there's different theories. Like taking care of babies is a specific type to get your kids sleep training. Then there's, you know, this type where you let them cry it out. And there's people for each of those camps. But to the point nowadays, you don't even want to say that like, oh yeah, I like spanked my kid because of society would be like, oh, you do. And it doesn't mean you beat them. It doesn't mean even in the Bible, it's like, you know, spare the rod. Spoil the child. And to the point of, there's got to be discipline. There's got to be boundaries.
They don't want it. They don't want it.
But in schools, but this is the other thing. They want, and it's not just about boys and girls, I believe. I think it's more harmful for boys, but even in general, they want children to fit into a box. We've talked about that for any kid, right? Like Montessori is very different where you get to do these other things and you get to run around. But then when you go into a normal school, you're at your desk for this many hours a day. That's not good for anybody. I don't care if you're a girl and you're more like, you don't have the testosterone and whatever else. You're not as like buck wild as dudes are, but like kids should not be just sitting in their desk for four hours at a time. So I think there's a lot goes into that piece as well. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, we want to keep boys down. It's just, we want to control children. We want to make them where we can molest them.
You want to make them one. And I guess when you were just talking about it, it kind of brings up an interesting point, right? We were talking about diversity earlier, right? We're supposed to be this big, diverse melting pot or whatever. And yet we're taking half of our society and forcing them to be exactly the same as the other half.
Equity.
What happened to diversity?
They want equity.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
And this is, well, when I had my notes, because I know there was a long list, but
that
part of equality, which I feel like we always go back to, is that, and I think there's that word change, whether it's equality or independence, because why does it mean that if I want equality in pay, for instance, because we do the same job, we're talking about the same level, you're not doing it because I'm a woman and you're not doing it because I'm Black, you're doing it because we actually know the same stuff and we didn't lower the standards, we're both right here and I want the same amount of money. That's equality. Why does it equate to, oh, well, you want equality, so you need to ask me out. What? That does
because
not.
The
that's
movement
not the same.
Changed.
Yeah.
So
hold on. What you just said right now, honestly, it is false. The standards have been lowered, especially for, you know, in the military. The standards have been lowered for women. They have been lowered for not just women, for minorities and all that. So it has been lowered, and who suffers? The country suffers in general for this. Like, you know, we're going to feel the ripples of this for generations to come. I mean, there's countries right now like China, they're not, you know, they're getting the best of the best. They're not lowering their standards. And right now, while we enjoy a relative, you know, dominance over in our military and everything, this is unsustainable if we continue going down this path. So, now, to your point, why does that mean that women, you know, now, because that this is equality, doesn't mean that women, you know, that Miss Independent, whatever. I think, say that again, what you said, the last part of that.
why does it mean because I want equality and like my pay, does that now equate to, oh, I need to ask you out as a man because now you're not doing it because we have equal this. And so now
I don't. Society makes it that way, dude.
Well, like, you make it that way because you follow it.
No, hold up. No, because everybody's just fucking. So all this shit, every news article, news articles, fucking songs and fucking all the mainstream media. That's what they say.
It's degrading women.
And then people start using their terminology because that's how you start this whole thing. They put a seed out there and then everybody starts talking the same way. And now independence has come with equality because they've merged the two together. They say, I'm a boss bitch. I'm this. So it all gets lumped together. But to the original point of what equality was and women's rights was for shit like that. Not I'm a boss bitch and I can fucking drop my pussy everywhere and do whatever, fuck everything in the world and not be a hoe. All that shit. It was about fighting for the same rights, the right to vote, the right for pay, the right to work, the women's suffrage movement. It has gone all the way past that to where it's all lumped together. When you say an independent woman is the same thing as equality. That's how they lumped it all together.
Jordan Peterson makes a great point all the time. And what he says is the feminist movement has focused on equality of opportunity, but not equality of responsibility. Right. And so what does that mean? Right. And so they say, well, we want equality for everything, or we want the right to vote. OK, but the right to vote came with, now you're going to be drafted to war. OK, do you want to be women? Do you want to be now drafted into war? Well, we want equality in pay. OK, well, then go do the hard jobs.
Why did it have to be like that?
Let me finish myself.
Why was it?
Wait, hold on. So again, this was because I think what happens is the feminist movement, where it started off meaning well, but it went freaking left, and because women argue for equal pay and all this. Okay, well, there's a lot of factors that come into how women are gonna get to that equal pay, right? It's not just if you take like for like a woman who graduated and the same age, whatever, all that. It's practically the same thing, but they take the overall women, the number of women, overall number of men, and they compare that and they say, oh, therefore men make more, and they look at the equality. Well, no, men are doing harder jobs. Men are doing the longer hours. Men are doing, men don't take paternity leave, right? So there's all these factors that you have to take into consideration when you compare wages. And so this whole idea that women are now, unequal in pay has been a lie. You know what I mean? Like the idea. And so therefore now we change society. Now we change all these rules, but okay, women, you want all this equality, but then you should be pushing women to go into these, fields that are hard that men do, right? Wait, what were you going to say, Samantha? Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you made a comment, and that's what I just wanted to focus in on, is that you were saying that, women wanted the right to vote. So if you have the right to vote, then you got to be in the army.
Yes.
And my thing, well, why is that? Why do I have to? Because you just said, hey, we had to lower standards for you to be in the military. But I didn't ask to be in the military. I wanted to vote because I'm a person and I have a view and I have a mind. And but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like, is that not your comment that like, hey, if I want to vote, then I have to be in the military? But why was that? That now puts it where women have to fight and say, well, if that means that I have a voice, then I guess I'll have to figure out how to do military.
I don't have a choice at 18. I have to sign up for selective service.
Right.
We don't have a choice. I don't have a choice at 18.
Yeah. Men Connor
get drafted.
Even if Connor cannot legally be drafted because of his diabetes.
He has a number.
He still has a number.
Every guy has a selective service.
So, so women don't have to do this. So you may not be aware of this, but when Connor turned 18, the day he turned 18 years old, we had to go down to the DMV and get his draft number.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. So again,
every man has to do that,
but women don't have to do that.
Because of equality.
Again, the question is not saying like, my question is why to vote? Is that the...
Well, it wasn't just... Okay. That wasn't just the only stipulation, Samantha. That wasn't the only stipulation. Of course, before there were some racist stipulations, but one of them was you had to own property, right? So you had to have a stake literally on the ground of the country in order to, because guess what? You wanted the country to prosper because you lived in this country and you owned property in this country. That was one of those things. Another one was you were going to, men were the ones because men went to war. They were going to defend the country. So they should get to vote. And another part of that was, there was a household thing, right? You had to be a certain age and married. Okay, so now you have a family. And so the family, with the woman's input, decided who they were going to vote for, right? Now, so it was more centered around family, around the country. Now it's just like, okay, well, now I'm on welfare. I've been on welfare for 10 years and I'm going to get to vote who is going to give me more money in my paycheck. This is what we've devolved to in society.
Right. And I think I hear you and I understand what you're saying. So I'm thank you for like giving me that insight about why they were doing it like that. But even with that, there's still a lot of holes, which I think didn't get filled, which is why certain people then had to fight for the things they fought for. So for instance, your husband goes off, you know, had to go to war. He dies. Now you're a woman. You had to take care of the kids and do all these things. You either got to find a man. You have no property. You have no this and that. It broke down to a lot more reasons why it's like, okay, I guess if I have to, you know, go to war, or I mean, I know you're saying that we don't have to do that, but like in general, like there's all those holes that weren't filled. And so I would, again, to fight for that for the next generation and or for myself, then you have to, then you're making me have to fight for those things, even though actually maybe as a woman, I didn't want to do that. But you're right. If you go off and die, we made the decision to vote for this person. You go die. Now I've got these five kids and I'm by myself. So who's now I have to wait for another man. Okay, you know what I mean? There's a lot of
the thing is that they see that even that is not completely true. Right. Because if your family is not just your husband, right. It wasn't. Your family is your family, your brothers, your sisters, you know what I mean? Like, and to me, it was going to be those people. It was going to be that community that was going to come in together. Why does it have to be some fucking government out in Washington, D.C. writing a check to somebody who they don't even know? Because guess what? Your family, who knows you better, would have been able to think, well, you know, is this person worthy? Is this person, has this person done everything? And sure, they're going to know and they're going to help you. And so it was more centered around family, where we have removed the family from it and people are now, you know what I mean? Like this is why this was bad. And to Tim's point, he makes it all the time. This has been intentional. It's been a way to erode the family, to erode the community that was going to help you when you were facing that situation, not some bureaucrat in Washington who doesn't even know you. That's the person who decides how much you're going to get. It makes no sense. So, you know, I get what you're saying. You're going to be left alone. You're a woman. But how often did that happen? You know, unless you were like a completely horrible person, your family's
yeah, you still go in, but like you're now going in, but like you then don't have a voice.
And
right?
The government, if you serve for the country, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure if you were a soldier who died for your country, the country was not just going to leave your kids to not receive money. But now it's anybody. My husband died, even though he didn't serve in war or anything, the government steps in and is taking care of everything. A woman leaves her husband and now needs help, and she's on the system for years, never encouraged to get a job, never forced to get a job.
Because they're not allowed. If they go, if they make more.
Exactly.
If they make $32,001, they lose everything. So they have to make $29,000. They have to make $29,999 to still get everything. So they get their paycheck. And they live in poverty. Then they get the government assistance and they go, shit, I know I get the best of both worlds, but they never progress. You know what they don't do? They never own anything. They don't have no ownership. But then the same politician goes, we need to make it fair for those people. Yeah. Get them off welfare.
Yeah.
Let's help them get off welfare to give them that same high paying job that we all have so that you can buy that house. Don't say we got to give special loans out because you're a minority. Say, well, you get 0% for 20 years or whatever they were trying to pull a couple years ago with B of A and all that after George Floyd, their racist fucking loans. If you were white, you had to pay the higher interest rate. Look, solve the problem. We don't solve problems. We create more problems. Mm-hmm. That's what the government does.
Right.
Us collectively, we could solve more problems for our community than anybody in Washington, because we all could sit around a table and go, what is the best thing to do? Hey, well, I work, you work, but that person that we're going to give them, we're each going to give them 20% of our paycheck to survive. You can be like, that's fucking crazy. How about we help them get a skill so that they can get to we can help them with that. But if somebody told you in the community, take the government away, they said, okay, we're all going to be equal. You make 100,000, you make 100,000, he makes 30,000. You all have to give him half your monies.
That's how insurance works.
Well, right. And no, but now think about, how would you feel? He doesn't do nothing. You guys bust your ass and you have to give him. That's equality because you're equal. We all got the same money. We all are equal. No, you're
not. That's not equality.
That's equality.
That's what equality has become. That's what equality has become.
That's exactly what they made it.
But and what Sammy
because they want to make us communist.
But we and
you just answered your own question.
No, so, but what she's saying is she.
Calm down. Why is everyone yelling?
I'm going to talk about the same shit over and over again. And guess what? It's all the same shit. The same fucking group of people for the last fucking 80 years have fucking designed it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, you know how you fucking beat it? Turn it the fuck off.
Well,
turn it the fuck off. Stop talking about.
Don't participate. Well, that's the thing. I did want to make one more point, which is, you know, I we always call this out, but it's a bad marriage between, you know, capitalism and communism, which is corporate America and government. A bad marriage is happening because, you know, these companies or these big, like, you know, I'm talking about the Amazons, the Walmarts of the world, who benefit from women, you know, or single mothers who are getting now government assistance, and you know, it's free money for them, right? So a lot of the commercials that you see, they're geared towards women. Women are the most in debt. You know, if you look at compared to the sexes, they get more into debt. They make more of the family decisions on what's going to be bought, and so a lot of these advertisements are now have been geared for women for the last I don't know how many years. Because they do their research. These companies, they do their research. They know who's making those decisions. So a lot of this is targeted towards women. And to Tim's point, there's something that is happening. Why are we in this situation? And you made this point, Samantha. Why, if men have these convictions, why don't they just stick to their guns and do as they want to do? And you know what I'll tell you is this. I think for a long time, for a lack of a better way of saying this, for a long time, men have kind of made room, and we said this before, made room for women to come participate and be part of this whole thing, because it only takes about 20% of men, just 20% of men, to say, you know what, I'm done with this shit. Go back to the kitchen. We're done. Only 20% of men have to do that. And this whole thing about women liberation and all this idea that women are enjoying this freedoms and all this, it's all an illusion. It's all based on the grace of men. Men who have said, okay, you know what? We're going to step aside and come here and lead. And guess what? This country's gone to shit. It has. I'm sorry I'm saying it this way. I know it sounds harsh. I'm not anti-woman. I always praise my mom. Strong woman. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, I think, you know, for a long time, we have removed the man from being leaders. And we as a society have collectively said, no, we don't want that. Well, here we are. We're faced with this situation. Men who have you know, no longer want to be leaders, and women who want to be leaders, and the country's going to shit. It's a fact. I don't know how else to say it because this is what it looks like.
Most men don't want to follow a woman.
So let me show you guys these videos. Exactly, Tim. Most men won't. I'm going to show you these videos again. Women who are now abandoning this idea of being Miss Independent. You guys are going to love these videos.
I quit at being independent. I don't want to do this shit anymore. This shit is draining. I'm so ready to have a man come into my life and take care of me. My tires pop. Two of my tires pop. And I'm sitting in my car because I don't know what the fuck to do. Obviously, I know what the fuck to do. But I don't want to do this shit no more. Like, I'm ready to have someone come into my life and take care of me. This shit is so fucking draining. This independent life. Like, I don't want to do this shit no more. I quit. Because every time something happens, I always have to figure shit out on my own. And I don't want to do that shit anymore.
It's life.
Y ya renuncio, ya no quiero ser independiente, ya. It's Spanish,
too. Spoiled and taken care of. What did she say?
Because I shouldn't have to be stressing about shit like this.
Entitled, spoiled, right?
Let's be real with this one. She's
Miss Independent. Yeah.
What's her value, right? It's cool you want somebody to take it, but what is your value?
What do you bring to the table, right?
Yeah, what do you bring to the table? Okay, you have a guy come in. All right, he's going to take care of you. What do you do for him? What is your value? What are you going to do by him taking care of you?
So this is the thing. Makes me laugh a little bit that you guys like,
it's not
literally, you're like, oh man, you know, these women, they're independent and they, you know, they're bad bitches, whatever.
She's
and
a
like,
boss,
they need to fall in line under a man, blah, 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 blah. And when a woman then says like, I just want you guys to take care of it. You know what? I'll do it. I'll be it. And then you're like, well, wait, what are you bringing to the table?
Exactly.
But that's the thing. You don't.
Time out. When I say, what are you bringing to the table? If you're not going to do anything, if you're not going to, you don't want to do this. Yeah. You want a guy to take care of you.
Right. But does she know how to cook? Does she not clean?
What are you going to do for that fucking man? Are you going to have his kids take care of him and not be a fucking whore?
This is right. Not, see, again, you have like, that's emotional what I'm saying. Damage. Emotional
that's
damage.
What I'm saying. What do you bring to the table?
Right. This is about first independent women not wanting to do that.
That was the point I was trying to make. I'm trying to say, what do you bring to the table if you are not going to do this? If you don't go to work, are you going to cook, clean, take care of the house, the children and everything?
Oh, my God. That's not what this was about.
That was the point I'm making.
Wait, so Samantha, you said we complain about, you know, that not being leaders, right? And okay, so if you want to be a leader, then be a leader. Okay, to Tim's point, sure, we want to be leaders, but we're not just going to choose, to Tim's point, somebody who doesn't know how to, you know, but if I'm going to be the house and I'm going to be provider and a protector, then there are roles. And what are your roles, woman?
This is what I'm saying, but right now, though, like, we're not negating that. This podcast right now is not about, hey, women don't want to be independent. And now they're sitting here and they want to be catered to. That's not what we're talking about. So it's like, yes, that is a case. That's a thing we can talk about. But that's not what this is about. It's not, hey, she's saying she wants to be taken care of. And then it goes straight to, well, what are you doing for the man? Well, we're not on that. I'm not saying that there's not roles. I'm not saying that there's not things that need to happen in the household, but why does it go back to that? Like,
but everything she was complaining about, I want to be taken care of because I had tires popped and I don't want to figure this shit out.
It's what a man could provide.
Which we spoke about before. And I think you even showed a clip, and it was actually funny. It was like one of those reels, and it was like a woman, and you know, she was in her house and she was like, listen, she's like, ladies, she's like, these are, she's like, my problems, the dishes in the sink. She's like, my problem, you know, the clothes in the laundry. She's like, my husband's problem, my car. You know, like, and you were just saying that there are roles and things that each gender does, right? And so in this reel, it was basically just pointing out that she's like, these are my responsibilities that I have to care for. And those are the responsibilities that the man has to care for. And I think universally as women, yeah, those are things like, I don't want to change my tire. You're right. Do I know how to? I don't. But like, do I can culture play or whatever, right? But the whole point is, women, we don't really want to do that, you know? But I don't think it's she's not going to do this stuff.
If in her mindset, the role of a man, of the type of man that she wants, is a guy who's going to change her tire, right?
Let's just say do the man stuff.
Okay. So then there is no equality. That's what we're trying to get at. If men and women are equal, they should be able to do the equal things.
And she said she can do it. She says she knows how to do it. It wasn't about that she can't do it. But she didn't want to do that role.
Right. So she doesn't want to. Right.
Again. She's not saying she wouldn't do the role that he's yelling about, like, what's your value? That was my problem. It's not that you have those or you want that from them. It's that assumingly you're just jumping out saying, well, what's your value? What's your value? Well,
but like, you're saying not putting you want it on somebody to take care of me. What is your value then of me taking care? What are you going to do? Me taking care of you doesn't mean just sit your ass at home and do not a fucking thing.
She's not saying she's going to do that. That's what I'm saying. Why is it going into that?
Okay, so Samantha, you're saying, She's basically saying it would be nice for a guy to do this for me.
She's saying, I don't want to do those things and I want someone to take care of me. That's all she's saying.
Okay.
Right.
So then she's can a guy saying, say, I don't want to cook. I want somebody to do that for me.
They can say that.
Yeah.
But society will say, well, look over here. You want a slave in the house? I work 40 hours too.
So to your point, you just said it. I work 40 hours too. There is a difference.
Why can't he say, I work 40 hours? How come you can't do it?
He could, but she's saying that's not what she wants. Okay, hold on. We're saying Miss Independent Woman is someone who like has a job, does all these things. And she's like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I've been sold this lie. I want to be at home and do wife home stuff. What you just said there was, hey, I work 40 hours too. If we're both working 40 hours.
Right.
And then you say, well, I don't feel like doing I don't feel like changing your tires. You're right. You have the right to say that. And the same right, I could say, well, okay, I don't want to do the dishes.
Answering honestly, do you think that's going to go over well?
No, what happens honestly is that women still do it. What are you talking
women
about?
Women do the majority of it anyways in end.
What I'm asking you is will it go over well for the woman if a guy responded and said, look, I don't want to change your tire. Do it yourself. How do you think that's going to go over?
No, I'd be like, oh, if he's my boyfriend or my husband?
Your husband, yeah. And he says that.
Yeah, my husband, I'd be like, well, then I'm going to pay for it. And if you don't want to pay for it because you think it's ridiculous, which most men do, like, I can just change it. I'm not going to pay somebody to do it. That's why you guys men do it. Because as you said, women's going to spend the money. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pay someone to do it. And that's what's going to happen.
So you didn't answer the question. How will it, does it change your opinion of your husband or not? If he says, well, I don't want to do it. Or do you like, oh, this guy. Or you're like,
no,
okay, cool, perfectly
like,
well.
Okay, well, I'm going to pay someone to do it. Just like that's the same thing. If like you want to clean it, I'll be like,
I don't think you answer honestly. Like my question is, on an emotional basis, how are you going to respond to a guy who tells you, I don't want to change your tire? You know, and if he continually does that, I don't want to throw the trash away. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do all that. Because if they're
kind of different person, because he's not the person taking care of me,
right?
Or at least to say like, or right. Say, hey,
so there are certain things that women expect men to do. It would be nice, and if men don't do that, it's not good. The same way that men look at certain things that are go ahead, Jeremy, go ahead. Take.
I want to know how she popped two tires at the same time.
Yeah, where was she at? Right.
Hey, we have a whole nother problem. Women drivers ain't the best either.
I did want to show you guys more of these, and we'll dedicate 50 more minutes to this. But I took a long list of women trying to be done with being Miss Independent. So let's play some of these.
Hey, and Tim, just because I make the comments I make doesn't mean that they're directed at my husband.
I know. I just like to
go in the wormhole.
No, because everybody needs to understand. Just because I say those things doesn't mean I'm talking about my husband. He does a great job helping me when I ask for it.
I like the dig.
All right. You guys ready for another one?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You're going to love this. Again, I'm not making this stuff up, guys. This is a growing trend. People, women are done with being Miss Independent.
I don't want to be an independent woman anymore. It's not all that it's cracked up to be.
This message is for my future husband. So if you're not my future husband, please keep scrolling. Daddy, I don't want to work anymore.
Oh, I decided that I need me a Jesus. Sugar daddy. But I want me a sugar daddy that don't want no sugar.
Oh, wow.
Being this independent woman paying all the bills, like, that's ghetto. No, send my husband right now.
I don't know if anybody else has realized this, but this whole independent woman thing, you know, I don't need nobody. I can do bad all by myself. It's feeling like a scam.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but the whole independent, you know, I want to be independent. I got my own bag. Ladies, it's dead.
I know how Libby said. She got her own house. She got her own car. Two jobs, one car. You a bad broad.
Great song.
I don't want to be a bad broad no more.
I started my own business, and I worked as a girl boss for 7 years. Now that I turned 30, I've realized that actually I am a very dependent person. Yes, I am independent, but I'm someone who prefer depend on someone.
See, a guy would never say that. A guy would never say, I want to depend on somebody.
I think they will now.
This is a troll. That's a straight troll, bro.
What?
These videos are straight trolling.
No, bro. These are girls. I'm telling you. Let me play more.
Sympathy. They're sitting there fucking getting out of work.
So many TikToks talking about how being an independent woman is so much better. And it's amazing that you don't have music. To depend on anyone else. But I'm exhausted. I own my own house. I can pay my own bills. I work full-time 5 days a week. I'm a full-time single mum. And I think it's just exhausting because of how lonely it can be. So I go out, I go clubbing just to be surrounded by people for my one night a week that I don't have my baby.
The music kills it.
that's a troll, dude. It's
no,
a fucking
it's
troll.
Not, Tim.
Me and you can make the same videos and be like,
men
oh,
are not
we're
not gonna do those videos. Come on, bro.
It's TikTok. It's social influencers. They want fucking likes. Like, come on. Like, I can't take those people serious when you're going that far, putting music behind it and everything. Yeah, I don't take you serious. I don't take you serious. You know what?
No,
a real interview.
They didn't put somebody else made the video. putting the music, Tim. It wasn't them. This is a compilation.
So the whole thing, it's all bullshit. It's trolling. They're looking for fucking attention.
I do think that people...
Some truth behind it.
I feel like... Well, we've talked about this before, but like, I know, you know, I went to school in Texas and like, that's still a big thing there. Even like in Oklahoma, like when I was going to college, which was like, you know, over 20 years ago, that like people would go to college because, like, you know, that's what you did and stuff. But like the girls there, like nobody that I know, like, well, okay, let me take that back. That's a little aggressive. But a lot of girls, you go to college to find your mate because you wanted to be a mom and they wanted to stay at home and they didn't want to work. So even though I understand this, like I still come from an area that most of the high schoolers that I know, I've got the friends that I have, they're close knit. We're all pretty the same, right? We work, we do all this stuff, but like, most everybody else that I know, like, have their husbands, they have their babies, and they're at home, and that's what they like. And so when I hear this stuff, it's like, yeah, I know that's there because I know I have the yearnings for stuff, but that doesn't mean because I feel that I'm doing the work.
Can I ask a question about
that? I don't want a husband or I don't want to share responsibilities. As in, you guess what? I don't like investing. Do I want to have money? Yes. So I'd rather work and give you the money to invest. Do it. Do your thing, buddy, because it doesn't interest me. That's what I'm interested in, saying you have your talents, I have mine. Let's work together in a synergistic way to like build this thing. That's what I feel like is like where the independence comes. And like, I know you don't do great at laundry. And if you do it, you're probably going to ruin my stuff. Let me just do it for you. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Can I ask
you
a question?
You're doing other things. Yeah.
So your friends that didn't do what you and your tight knit group friends did.
Yeah.
Who's happier?
Oh, wow.
I'm being serious. Like, are they truly happy? They love their life? Or do they bitch about the choices they made?
No, I'm
it's not attacking anybody. Yeah. I'm just curious. You know, when you look at their relationships and how happy they are, steady family, 20 years, are they happily married? Are they unhappily married and just sticking with it because they have nothing else?
See, but that's a rough thing to say, because I don't think people are 100% honest with themselves, let alone are they going to tell you like, hey, I'm not happy with this or that. And of course, everyone has issues and everyone has things that they're working on. And it doesn't mean altogether you think like your life sucks because, you know, you are having a trouble in your marriage for like a year or 6 months and now you're better. Like there's going to be ups and downs. So I don't think it's fair to judge to say like, where somebody's at right now is equating their whole thing to just like a tragedy. Yeah. Just like I feel like, you know, I've liked my singlehood, and I've also didn't like in certain relationships feeling bound and being like, I don't, and that just for me, but there's people who really enjoy that. Just like they really want to be a stay at home mom, or they do not want to work at all. But,
and I think today's stay at home mom is not,
it's a hard, that's a hard job.
Same kind of stay at home mom as it used to be. Like I know a lot of stay at home moms that are not, like they have housekeepers still. Their kids are going to school and they're full of activities because, well, what am I supposed to do with them if they're at home every day? And you know, I got to get my nails done. I got to get my nails done, you know, and my hair, and they're very, and that's not, like when I think of a stay-at-home mom,
that's not contributing to that.
Yeah, I mean, but that is more of what the stay-at-home right. mom looks like today. So now, when you see a stay-at-home mom, and I think the idea with a lot of women when they think about being, I don't want to be independent anymore. I want my man to take care of me. Well, that's because that's what they're seeing is happening. And I know this factually for many, many women I know that don't work. And their husbands bring home the paycheck. Is they are, I mean,
they pick somebody that's making.
They're going to the gym every day. They've got their hair, and I mean, everything is perfectly neat and tidy. And oh, by the way, they're not cooks, so it's not even like they're cooking to put dinner on the table. And well, then why? What? It, why is she a stay at home mom? Like, what is?
Well, but that's why I say about the value.
What does
is your
he
value?
Like? But what did like? Maybe that's the thing. He's like, I want a woman who stays in shape, who looks great. I knew she couldn't cook. I'd rather eat something else. Like, you know what? What are their, Jesus. What did they figure out was going to work for them? Because there
pretty
are,
woman, it sounds like.
You know, it's like I'm a trophy wife, and that's what I'm supposed to do is like do the things and like make you look good. And that's their trade-off.
I'm like, really curious what they have in common. Like, let's be real. Like, look, I get it. I don't give a shit if a woman works, don't work. When I say value, if you're not going to go to work, everything that you just said to me brings no value to the relationship.
What?
They do all that. Yeah, that's cool that they want to take care of themselves. Yeah, that's cool. They want to look pretty. But if you're still having no contribution to your house, of you have no investment in cleaning it, you don't fucking take care of your kids because you have a fucking nanny, you're never around, you're going to brunch with your friend, you know, like what value do you have?
Yeah, they don't have a nanny. I mean, my thing is nannies,
like, what, like how are their kids well behaved? Are their kids respectable kids, well behaved?
So let's ask this question, Tim, for you, with a girlfriend or maybe a potential wife. If this person that you like, you know, you looks are a big thing, right? You want them to be like, you need to be super attracted to them. And you guys had like, you know, let's just say like great sex. And she was just nice. And maybe she didn't clean, or maybe she didn't, or wasn't really dirty, but she just didn't do those things. I think that you would be like, eh, I can live with this because of the other.
I've broken up with that.
No.
Okay.
A nice
you've
girl.
You asked me a simple question. I gave you the answer.
I know. I just don't believe it because
okay. Well,
yeah. Well,
I think Samantha, I think the difference is, see, men will have sex with a girl like that. They're not going to marry a girl like that. And I think women get confused with the whole idea. Well, yeah, I'll have you around and we'll have sex, but it's not going to become anything permanent. And so, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think there's as many. You think you're talking about fewer numbers.
We're basing it on the younger generation, not the older generation, because in the younger generation, because let's be real, we're talking about relationships, and last I checked, none of us really are really good at relationships. Let's be real. Our track record's really not that good.
Okay. There's a few of us in here that like try. You haven't had a date or tried to be with someone, and it doesn't mean it's your standard or we're not whatever.
I mean, trying, just because I don't talk about it doesn't mean I'm not trying.
I don't know that I agree with that at all.
But
I think that.
Okay. I mean, up until you met him, I mean, everybody's track record's been pretty fucking bad.
But that's not about, that's what yeah, is
but
that?
We're talking about
us being older, but I'm talking about the younger generation. You talk to them. This is what they're saying.
This always happens. It's like it becomes a personal thing. And we need to be able to have conversations in the freaking abstract and not get personal, guys, because it doesn't end well. So, you know, yes, you're right. None of us, and nobody can claim to be, oh, I have the, no, relationships are complicated, man. Like, you know how many friends I talk to, they're like, oh my God, relationships are hard.
You mean old people I talk to?
It's work. It's a fucking job. Being in a relationship is a fucking job.
Talk to old people who have weathered through the storm and they're older. Right. And I know it's a different generation, but talk to them about how things went. And when they like, oh, we separated, or oh, yep, it was struggle, and oh, it was this and that. We've kind of talked about this. They stick with it. They stick with it. But when you ask the question, oh, well, how is it really, are they really happy? Well, that's not really the question.
Well, I'm saying in today's time, people just give up more easily than they did back then. They still fought to make it work because like they had more things holding it together. They respected the family more. They had the religion. They would go and talk to their priest and their pastor or their fucking.
Now it's just like, oh, I just want to get married. Just, I want to go to the ceremony. But that's all it is. And it means nothing. And I'm from the group that I think it should be very hard, completely hard to get divorced. You know, this whole no fault divorce is like, I think it was more damaging than anything, because people now are like, oh, I'll just find another one. And it's like, oh, but now you have kids and now you have, That's my opinion. All right. We got to close the show out, guys. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow. Hit the like button and share some of the content. And we will catch you all the next time. Bye.
See you later.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.